Good morning. My name is Samuel, and I'll be your assistant during today's call. This morning, we would like to welcome you all to this result conference for the third quarter of Arcos Group. All lines have been placed in silent mode in order to avoid any background noise. After the introductory comments, after the speaker, we'll have a Q&A session. If you want to ask a question at that moment, please press star followed by one. Thank you. Now, I have the pleasure of giving the word to Ms. Natalia Agüero, Investor Relations Director. Floor is yours, Natalia.
Good morning. My name is Natalia Agüero. I'm Investor Relations Director. I want to thank you for participation in this call, which will discuss the results of Grupo Arcos for the third quarter 2017. With me, I have Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Arcos, Alejandro Piedrahíta, VP of Corporate Finances, Camilo Abello, Corporate Matters VP, and Maria Clara Aristizabal, Real Estate Leader. This conference is being translated simultaneously into English. I want to remember you all that all our reports and any relevant information can be found in Spanish and English in our portal for investors, www.grupoargos.com. In the same webpage, you can find the presentation that we'll be following during this call. To download it, go to Financial Information and afterwards Access Reports, where you'll find quarter three, a file called Presentation 3D 2017. We invite you to go to slide number three, and I'll give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez.
Natalia, everyone, thank you. Thank you for being with us in this call for us to share great results for the third quarter 2017. Before beginning with my presentation, I'd like to revisit our strategy, the one that I consider that has been a very successful point to follow that has allowed us to show good results in all the aspects of our financial results. This strategy could be summarized in four words: simplification and focalization, the profitabilization of portfolio, the profitable growth, and the efficient capital allocation. We've set for a couple of years now as goal to be the largest infrastructure holding business in Colombia and in the region. For this, we've placed our efforts in being an active holding that manages its investments, searching value generation for our stakeholders with a common DNA in order to guarantee the sustainability in the long term. We are close to close 2017, and it's grateful for me to present strategic advancements of great relevance, such as this investment in the port business of Compass, the announcement of the strengthening and simplification of the business capital, energy business capital structure, and finally, the inclusion of Grupo Arcos and Cementos Arcos in Dow Jones Sustainability Index. This proves that we are strategic architects, and all this is translated into a 29% EBITDA margin, and as you can see, is the highest one that we've achieved in the last 2 years. Clearly, the most relevant event that we've achieved in this quarter was the disinvestment of that participation that we had in Compass Port Company, that despite being mentioned in the previous conference, I would mention it once again, because this clearly can be seen in the results of this quarter. This transaction is a clear example of the value generation that we're given as portfolio administrators. Where in a period short of 5 years, we were able to double the value of the assets that we received from the business, from the cement business, transforming terminals bulk terminals focused on import and export of cement and coal, and that were no longer used for this business, into a logistical platform that's integrated and at the same time multipurpose. This was done with first-level alliances such as with the APA Terminals in Cartagena case or with the Singapore Ports Authority in the Aguadulce port. All this act attracted first-class investors, such as the case of Goldman Sachs, that actually acquired our participation in this business. In specific terms, this investment of a 50% of the Argos Group in Compass was of 403 billion Colombian pesos, which is the same as 25 times the EBITDA generated by the company in 2016. This quarter, this transaction is seen in an increment of the adjusted EBITDA of Argos Group of 153 billion pesos and separately of 221 billion Colombian pesos, which implied towards the future an impact in profits that's close to 4 billion Colombian pesos using the participation method. So we would stop accounting in our books due to the non-participation in Compass would be around 4 billion Colombian pesos, according to the participation method. With this investment, we are focalizing our portfolio in the cement, energy, road, and airport concessions. In the same way, we're improving our financial flexibility in order to continue to proceed with our efficient capital allocation, amortizing 195 billion Colombian pesos for an indicator for a gross debt EBITDA indicator adjusted 2.2 times. This will strengthen our cash that for this quarter was 267 billion Colombian pesos. Now let's speak about the energy business structure simplification. Concerning the energy business, I'd like to highlight the announcement done last 26th of October concerning the strategic strengthening of our Celsia branch that communicated this public bid of 14% of the EPSA stocks, which will be funded by ordinary stocks issued by Celsia. From the Argos Group vision, this operation follows three main objectives. The first is simplifying the strategic architecture that Argos Group has, consolidating the energy business as the only vehicle which will allow us a better clarity to convey to the market about our strategy and structure. Second, this operation will allow Celsia to strengthen their equity structure and will allow Celsia to access the financing required for a profitable growth. This will also allow a better market value regulation, given that the EPSA stocks will lead to a value cascade for all shareholders in EPSA, Celsia, and finally in Argos Group. We're completely confident in Celsia's strategic plan, who's a high innovative player in the energy business. And that's why, respecting the rights of all shareholders, we've decided to participate in this announced emission, stock emission, in order to maintain and increase our participation within that company. We also want to highlight that Argos Group's final decision to participate in these two transactions will depend on the analysis that will be done in the right moment, for which we'll have the support of independent and external advisors. In any case, I believe that it is key to emphasize that these two transactions that have been announced by Celsia will be carried out with high corporate governance standards, with transparency and protecting the minority shareholders, both Celsius as well as Argos Group. Sustainability. Now, I want to invite you to move on to slide number six, where I'd like to reiterate that our strategy contemplates not just the profitable growth of the portfolio, but also the construction and reaffirmation of a common DNA, which is reflected in a sustainable and responsible acting with all our groups of interest. Because of this, I'd like to especially highlight that Argos Group and Argos Cement have been included for the fifth consecutive year as members of the Sustainability Dow Jones Global Index and as leaders of our industries as a recognition to the economic sustainability best practices that we follow, as well as environmental and social best practices. This index evaluates 2,500 largest companies of the world in different industry sectors, from which only 319 between Grupo Argos and Cemento Argos have been chosen as the World Index members. I'd also like to mention that Argos Group obtained the largest possible classification between their peers in the industry. In addition, both companies have been included once again in the Emerging Market Index, known as the Dow Jones Emerging Markets, as well as in the first version of the Middle Pacific Alliance Dow Jones Index, which follows business performances with the highest sustainability ratings within the Andean Pacific region, which includes Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and Peru. We receive this recognition with satisfaction and responsibility, given that they reflect the convictions that we have around doing businesses that will in favor of those environments where we act in order for our value generation to transcend financial results and can generate more sustainable societies. Now, I want to invite you to check Grupo Argos results. Initially, I want to look at the consolidated values. After going over the most relevant facts during this quarter, I'd like to invite you to go over consolidated financial results for Argos Group that you'll find between slides 8 and slide 10. For the third quarter this year, the consolidated level results confirm the successful strategy that we followed in terms of capital allocation, which gives us a 29% EBITDA margin, which has been the highest one in the last 2 years, as we've previously mentioned. As you can observe, all the lines of our financial results present positive variations. I'd like to also mention the important advancement revenue-wise, EBITDA-wise, and net profit-wise. Consolidated revenues of Argos Group during third quarter 2017 were close to 4 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 20% per year. For the first time this year, we've had positive contributions in the revenue from all our businesses. We should also mention the cement business, especially that shows a constant recovery within the Colombian market, contributing with a revenue of 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos for the third quarter, as well as the contribution made by the energy business, which, despite low prices found during all 2017, is positively adding to the holdings consolidated values. In terms of the concession business, this still shows an adequate dynamic with contributions close to 200 billion Colombian pesos. Complementary, the Compass transaction has contributed with 403 million Colombian pesos, which actually represent a tangible number in our portfolio administration. We should also mention that the profitability of all our businesses has been positively growing, reaching a consolidated EBITDA of 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos, which represents a growth of 28% in respect with the previous quarter. Once again, this number reflects the good recovery path that the market has been following in Colombia. According to those trends that we've observed in June and had previously commented, we also see that there's going to be an increase of the energy business due to lower generation costs, due to the normalization of water conditions and the positive contribution of Compass's investments that, as we've previously mentioned, has been of 153 billion Colombian pesos. Finally, net profit reached 452 billion Colombian pesos, growing a 38% in respect with the profit registered in third quarter 2016, while the net profit for the controller was close to 340 billion Colombian pesos. Here we're speaking of 160% more compared with the previous year. Now, I want to invite you to check the financial results, separate financial results, as this could be found in slide number 11. In third quarter this year, separate income for Argos Group was of 755 billion Colombian pesos, growing at 253% compared with last year. This income increase is explained due to the Compass operation that was of 403 billion Colombian pesos. We can also observe an increase in the real estate business due to the sale of 24,000 square meters of land and a recognition of a larger value of our assets due to land lot pricing, coherent with the policy that we follow, trying to update all our assets at market price. This participation method also reflects larger contributions of the energy business and also represents a concession contribution reduction due to the movement of the non-invested resources in the Autopista del Café. This is a charge that is just done once. It was for 33 billion Colombian pesos, and that we will actually be discussing further. In terms of costs, the increase is explained due to the Compass investment that represents a value of 182 billion Colombian pesos, giving us net results and EBITDA contribution of 221 billion Colombian pesos. In relation with expenses, this also represent the increases of this investment in Compass and also a larger depreciation for the quarter. Eliminating this effect and the real estate effect, the administrative expenses would be of 14 billion Colombian pesos, which represent an 18% reduction, honoring the efficiency commitment that we've set ourselves as organization. Our holding profitability has been substantially improving also. In this quarter, the EBITDA was of 420 billion Colombian pesos, which represents a margin of 56%. Finally, net profit reached 333 billion Colombian pesos, growing at 600% a year, where we highlight lower financial expenses due to the reduction of the financial cost by a reduction of more than 307 basis points, going from 11.1% to a 7.35%. Now, I want to invite you to go over the separate indebtedness that you can find in slide 12. September 2017, debt was close to 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 9% a year. We also want to highlight that the gross debt EBITDA indicator is located in 2.2 times, being one of the lowest leverage values in Grupo Argos history, and that contrasts with 3.8 times that was registered September last year. This period, we were strategically working to consolidate a portfolio focused on the infrastructure sector. A year afterwards, this one looks much more balanced and has much more sources of EBITDA generation, which places in a much more comfortable position in terms of leveraging. We should also highlight that resources that came from the Compass sale gives us a cash position of 267 billion Colombian pesos for this quarter, that joined with a lower leveraging level that was mentioned, gives the flexibility of keep on growing, being profitable, and strengthening our portfolio. Portfolio focused on cement, energy, production stations, and airports. Now I want to invite you to check the main advancements obtained by the operational businesses of the company in concessions, cement, energy, and the real estate business. Odensa results. Beginning with Odensa, on slide 14, we want to highlight how the company, after finishing their portfolio purging for controlled assets in roads and airports, is much more robust nowadays, which has allowed to reach two main milestones: bond emission in the Colombian market and the first disbursement for the Pacifico 2 project. The bond emission for 400 billion Colombian pesos implied a great challenge for the company, given that it was the first emitter of that sector in the last 10 years that has gone to market with a AA- classification. It took pride and actually led to an overdemand of 2.3 times with only 95 basic points, speaking about a AAA vision. When the technical price was speaking about it was speaking of a spread of 150 basic points. This emission allows Odensa to have a larger and flexibility and financing sources diversification in order to attend its growth strategy, with a funding cost that is reduced in about 170 basic points. The success of the emission is proof of the great trust that the market has in the strategy that we've carefully been implementing within this company. In addition, Odensa was able to make the first disbursement for the Pacifico 2 financing with the support of the national and international financial systems, which are fundamental to reach the feasibility of this 4G program project. This first disbursement is also a proof of trust concerning the execution capacity that Odensa has, that up due date presents for this particular project an advancement that's close to 24% of the project. At an operational level, Odensa registered for the third quarter road and car and passenger traffic that's close to 3%. Road concessions recorded more than 74,000 daily vehicles, while airport concessions represent more than 27 million passengers for 2017. Moving to slide 16, revenue-wise, at a consolidated level, Odensa registered 400 billion Colombian pesos for the third quarter. This is a 9% growth compared with last year, mainly explained due to the ADN and BGA consolidation. More collections done in the Autopista de Café and Pacifico 2, and larger contributions of the constructor consortium of Aruba, of corridor in Arupa. In EBITDA terms, for this first quarter, we recorded a reduction of 14% compared with last year, which is explained due to a return to the non-execution of the Autopista del Café concession for close to 33 billion Colombian pesos. This is related with La Maria's weighing station. Without considering this extraordinary situation that only occurs once, the EBITDA would have reported a growth close to a 40% for a value, an EBITDA value that would be close to 375 billion Colombian pesos up to September. Results for the cement business. Proceeding with the cement business that you can find on slide number 19, we want to highlight the adaptation capacity that Argos has had in the cement business in order to fight against that challenging market that we have specially found in Colombia, which has reported tangible results associated to the efficiency program that we've called this. Up to date, advancements, we can say, have been very positive. The huge effort that has been done by this company can be reflected in savings that are close to $10 per ton EBITDA for September, and this is very close to the goal that we've set of $12 per ton that we actually set at the beginning of this year that would be obtained before the end of 2017, as an answer of that new dynamic that we find in the sector, seeking for a larger profit within our operations. Parallel to the good evolution of the Colombian region dynamic, I would also like to highlight the positive operational results that we've obtained in the Caribbean region, as well as in the United States region, even though that we've just gone through a historic hurricane season. Thanks to excellent technical work, we've recovered 100% or close to 100% of our operations in the United States. And at the same time, we're working to recover our infrastructure in Puerto Rico and in the Antilles. Moving on to volumes for the cement business on slide 19, we want to highlight the cement dispatches that have increased in 17% at a consolidated level, which have been driven by the United States operation that has increased to 49%, 6% including the Martinsburg effect, and a recovery in Colombia where volume increase was recorded for 1.6%. Concerning concrete, this specific point keeps on showing a decrease in the market, showing how the demand in Texas has dropped due to post effects of Harvey hurricane. About the results found in slide 20, confirming the trend change of the Colombian market, numbers start showing signs of real recovery. Revenue is close to 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 4%, highlighting that first quarter 2017 has shown an year-by-year import recovery. As well as revenues, the EBITDA registered a positive variation, 1% positive variation, reaching 407 billion Colombian pesos. We want to highlight the efforts done by the company that start showing positive results in EBITDA, as well as the geographical diversification strategy, allowing us to reach an EBITDA of 90% for the third quarter. very similar to historic margins that were obtained by this business. In terms of net profit, third quarter was very positive, with contributions close to 65 billion Colombian pesos. It has actually been the highest net result that we've obtained for this year. Despite the challenges that we face in the cement business, we have positive expectations about the price recovery in Colombia, the consolidation of our presence in the Central American market, and the opportunities of growth of the United States economy, and where we find ourselves strengthened after the acquisition of Martinsburg plant last year in West Virginia State. I'd just like to make a comment about the ongoing investigation done by the Industry and Trade Superintendency of Colombia due to possible anti-competitive behaviors within the cement business. I'd like to let you know that yesterday we filed in our responses in a deep and express document that has more than 200 pages. This argument clearly explains all of those allegations, and this will be reviewed by the Competition Council, which will be extending recommendation to Superintendent of Industry and Commerce for their final decision. As we've publicly said, we completely trust the institutions of the Colombian state, as well as integrity in the way we act and the way that we respect the law. This document has been done to clearly explain all those things that have been said about us and explain our position. So I would also like to thank thousands and thousands of our customers, clients, analysts, opinion leaders, colleagues from the sector that during this week's of investigation have expressed their full support. And following this initiative that was generated called Creo en la Luz Verde, I Believe in Green Light, where over 2 million people have been reached with positive messages. Energy business, energy results. Now let's move on to the energy business results that you can find between slides found on page 22 and pages 22 to 24. As you can see in the results, the operational and financial behavior of Celsia presents important positive evaluations at all levels, highlighting especially that Celsia, within its matrix, accounts with solar energy contribution. And this was something that we betted on a couple of years ago, and that today has become a reality with Celsia Solar Jumbo project, which has a 9.8 megawatt installed capacity. This project is just the beginning, given that the company has a portfolio of solar initiatives for more than 200 megawatts that will actually mark the path that will follow in the future. And we also want to become the main player in Colombia for non-conventional renewable energies. At the same time, we see how the Cinco Caribe plan has been advancing that actually strengthens the electric infrastructure of this Colombian region up north. This project has actually shown already positive results in the Celsius numbers, will allow a larger flexibility in the revenue flows, which will also reduce the exposition we have in climate change matters. The generation this quarter reached 1,442 gigawatt hours. This is 11% lower that we saw last year, this reduction is explained due to a smaller reduction of thermal plants. This reduction also allowed a larger participation of the hydraulic generation that has a lower cost and a larger efficiency, generating positive results in terms of margins. Consolidated revenue, reached 785 billion Colombian pesos, which represent a 1% increase compared with last year, despite the lower energy prices in Colombia for this quarter. The company has reached an EBITDA for this quarter of 294 billion Colombian pesos, growing at 20% year compared with last year, fruit of the reduction of those costs associated to a lower thermal generation, contribution of the energy contribution in Colombia, the stability of the businesses in the country, and the better performance of the businesses in Central America. We also want to highlight the excellent EBITDA margin result that for this quarter was 37%, close to historic and normalized margins that the company has shown. Between July and September this year, we can observe a positive advancement of the net results that played to 93 billion Colombian pesos for an accumulated value for this third quarter of 180 billion Colombian pesos, while the accumulated net profit for the controller is close to 110 billion Colombian pesos. We are confident, as we've previously mentioned, in Celsius' future. That's why this new chapter that begins with the capital structure strengthening through the OPA strategies and EBSA strategy, as well as the stock emission for Celsius during October, will give the company the necessary drive to keep on growing in a sustainable and profitable manner, generating that loyal value of energy generation for EBSA, Celsius, and Grupo Argos. Results of the real estate business. Let's move on now to the real estate business results. You can find this between slides 26 and 27 of this presentation. For year 2017, the urban development business of Grupo Argos maintains very positive perspectives in the sales of land and urbanized land lots as part of its disinvestment strategies, focusing on value generation. For the third quarter, we want to highlight 19,000 square meters that allowed recognizing 29 billion Colombian pesos due to lot sales and 44 billion Colombian pesos for the cash flow. We also want to highlight the accumulated revenue that for the third quarter are close to 221 billion Colombian pesos, more than doubling the revenue that was recorded in September 2016. This confirms the accelerated disinvestment strategy that we've been following, trying to focalize our portfolio, the efficient capital allocation, and profit-seeking in a responsible manner. In reference with the real estate business, we can find the Parqueia Real Estate Fund that since the beginning of the fund, the unit value has grown constantly with effective annual yields of 8%. Actually, Parqueia has a 17.6% of participation as one of our associates, which actually give us the necessary flexibility to leverage this operation. At the end of the third quarter, the gross rentable area for Parqueia was close to 488,000 square meters, which actually represented a 25% increase compared with last year, highlighting for this quarter the Gran Plaza shopping center operations and the Bureau 25 office building, both of them located in Bogotá. As well, we want to highlight the negotiations I was looking to buy some warehouses in Washington, D.C., and also a land lot for in Miami for further development. The assets under Pacquiao administration added $2.9 trillion and represented operational gross revenues of 52 billion Colombian pesos for this quarter, increasing a 23% compared with last year, with a consolidated EBITDA of 27 billion Colombian pesos and a margin of 52%. Before proceeding with the Q&A session, I'd like to emphasize that good results obtained for this quarter is a proof of the strategy that we've set that has actually been our roadmap for the active role that this holding plays. The excellent results of all our businesses added to the sale of our participation in Compass are a clear example of those actions in favor of continuous value generation, as well as synergies, operational savings, in order to maximize the value of all the business groups. We feel hugely satisfied with these results, which are especially relevant given that they've been obtained in a global economic situation that's challenging, that does not yet show clear recovery signs. Despite this, we maintain a positive attitude toward the future, and that's why we keep on investing in order to achieve a strengthened infrastructure sector that will contribute to the competitiveness of the country and of the region. So this would be the end of the presentation that we prepared for this quarter's results. And now I'll give the word to the operator so we can begin with the Q&A session. Well, besides Natalia Gudelo, we have also Alejandro Piedraita, who's the company's CFO. We also have Corporate Matters VP, Maria Clara Distizabal, that's a real estate business. Leader, we have Camilo Bello, Corporate Matters VP, and us four are here to answer any questions that you might have. Right now, I would like to remember you all that to ask a question, please press star followed by number one. Star one to ask a question. We'll take a brief pause to compile the list of questions. First question comes from Federico Perez from Bancolombia. Good morning, Dr. Jorge Mario. Thank you for your conference. I have several questions. First, the cash that you closed quarter was very interesting, 267 billion Colombian pesos. If you could just give us a view, what are you thinking to use that? How are you planning to use that? To increase leveraging value? Or because you have a very healthy leveraging value, or you're thinking on audience capitalization. Maybe if you can give us an insight about this. Second, if you could give us a bit more information about the 4G projects, more specifically for the cement business. If you can tell us also maybe how are the Meta Conlani road project negotiations have been going. And finally, in the real estate business, if you can give us an idea of what you're expecting for the next quarters in terms of more more land lot, or maybe income generated, or producing more land, or maybe income generated by selling land. Federico, thank you for your question. Well, let's do something. There's three blocks in your question. You're speaking about cash and the possible uses that we could give to our cash, the 4G vision, and what are we expecting from the cement business and the real estate. So that's what I propose. Let's answer with three of us. So maybe cash could be answered by Alejandro Pierre, but I would like to start by saying that this investment, as it was mentioned before, is seeking a larger flexibility so we can have strengthening elements in our businesses. As you know, each one of the companies has a business plan, an ambitious business plan, and in Ordenza, we are improving both projects in Colombia, such as the Marian Vial del Meta, and we also have a finishing of Paín in the El Dorado Airport, and the greenfield restoration project. We have been working on this, and so there's several projects that will require resources for that. But in other projects, as we were mentioning, we have the emission announced by Celsia, the stock emission. We want to participate in this once we're clear and once we have all the analysis about this emission. And they've also publicly said that if for any given reason actual shareholders wouldn't like to participate, we would eventually would think in increasing our participation, not just participating, but with the right that we have to participate, but maybe broaden our participation. And we also have reallocation related topics. There's flexibility, but I'll give the word to Alejandro for him to complement. And afterwards, I'll speak about 4G and cement, and maybe we could give the word to Maria Clara so she could give us a better visibility in the real estate business. Well, I'd like to begin by saying the following. Clearly, we closed with a cash level that was larger than 270 billion Colombian pesos. I wanted to remember you all that even us, we used part of our cash coming from Compaseo to lower leveraging rebates and prepayments for around 90 billion Colombian pesos. If you analyze this and the way we try to lower leveraging, our EBITDA debt is going to be 1.8%. And our adjusted gross EBITDA would be 2.2 times. The operational cash flow over interest, where ratios are usually 1, right now are in 5.5 times, which shows this cash levels that we have. And the net debt over dividends is 3.7 times right now, which shows that from a financial flexibility point of view, right now, Argos Group accounts for those benefits. Second, that I'd like to highlight that I also find very important is what's happened with the cost of our debt. That's also very important with those investments that we have for 270 billion Colombian pesos. The debt cost in 2016 in Grupo Argos was around 11%. Right now, that debt, it's at levels of 7.35% with a reduction of more than 370 basic points. And the investments that we have right now from those 260 billion Colombian pesos are giving us a positive carry for that interest rate and differential. Now, how are we going to be using the cash? The cash, as we've been mentioning, and besides the excellent audience results, in the short term, we are not seeing a clear need of capitalizing the business. There's a series of projects, there's a series of initiatives, but in this moment, given the disinvestments done by Odinson in the past, and besides many of the results that we've been seeing, the company has the not cash to proceed. That cash we have right now, what we are basically seeing is a series of opportunities and initiatives, and at the same time, this is the capacity in a given moment of increasing, if it be the case, to increase our participation in such a submission, which gives us this flexibility. I'd like to mention this point because when this was announced, some of the analysts had mentioned that in the case that Argos Group would like to increase its participation, where was the cash coming from? Well, the cash, as you can see, we have 260 billion Colombian pesos that in a given moment could work to increase our participation in Celsia. Nevertheless, and let me say once again, that cash in a given moment can also be used for other types of initiatives, focusing on the core businesses that we're evaluating right now. But the main message that I want to convey is that we have the financial flexibility, but we also have the capacity at an Argos Group level to look at different alternatives.
Very well. Concerning the 4G project and from a consumption perspective, Argos has been completely successful in the operation of functional units that are stepping out of contract. Around 67% of the functional units are allocated to Argos as a concrete and cement supplier for this project. Remember that from 32 projects, about 19 have what's called year-end, and 8 of them have a financial close, and around about 5 have been close to end. In our case, we have this business of $250 million for and building Pacífico II, represented with a national branch of 510 billion Colombian pesos. So that's the general state, plus the 16 projects coming from private initiatives that we have in different parts of the country. I believe that the next approval of that law modification that gives guarantees to those third parties, financers or builders in solvency of contracts, is gonna be a very important dynamizing agent in order to recover the trust and the positive dynamic within the 4G roads. As you know, it's a project that is being constructed and built for the future, and will offer more guarantees and a larger certainty to those financiers and builders in this project. I believe that this is going to be absolutely fundamental in the concession dynamics. Today, up to the third quarter, the cement business has dispatched about 25,000 tons. In the third quarter, we dispatched 25,000 tons of cement to infrastructure works. But besides those four generation works, I believe that there's a positive dynamic in the housing construction. The number of houses that have been built has been importantly growing, around 76,000 units up to August this year. And the reduction that we saw in non-Fitch housing, the subsidies that have been announced by the government are close to 40,000 that will be executed between 2017 and 2019, will leverage that sector in a positive manner. And it's also important to highlight that this is a sector that has a larger added value and a larger cement consumption. So I'm completely optimistic about this, not just for next year. Housing-wise, but I also believe that we will have better dynamics in the construction of those projects that have been allocated in financial councils. Well, 2018 will be much more positive, probably, and as it was mentioned in the cement conference, we are experiencing a growth for next year. I'd like to give the word to Maria Clara for the real estate business, if you could give us the context about that question. And thank you, Jorge. So for the fourth quarter, we would be purchasing an additional lot for 10,000 square meters. We also have several land appraisals that we'll be receiving. So in 2017, I think that we'll be close to 250 billion revenue wise and 260 billion pesos EBITDA wise. Perfect. Thank you for your answers. Next question comes from Natalia Segovia. Hello, thank you. Thank you for your conference. I had a question concerning Patria. If you want to maintain the current participation within the fund, or the idea is for Protección to increase its participation within this fund? Well, thank you, Natalia. There was a capital of 170 billion Colombian pesos in the fund, and there's a commitment of 600 billion Colombian pesos for capitalization. So even that value is within the capitalization commitment in order to develop the business plan of the company. That, as we mentioned, is close to 3 trillion Colombian pesos value-wise. There's 190,000 square meters under assets being managed. This capital was 170 billion Colombian pesos, I mentioned. With it, we'll be able to develop the business that the organization had in the close future. But for the moment, we've expressed that those resources of 600 billion Colombian pesos are enough for the expansion plan that we've been executing in a systematic and organized way, and also to attend different segments that the company is attending, not just shopping malls, but also warehouses and offices. And as we mentioned before, with important geographical diversification steps, and that's also part of those investments that we've done in the U.S. So the answer for your question is that this is the contribution that we've considered to the moment, and there is there's possibilities of adding more participants in that fund, but that in this moment we are centered in developing this business plan. Thank you for your answer. The next question, Catherine Ortiz from Davivienda. Hey, good morning to you all. Thank you for the presentation. I have a question and also concerns Pactia. I'd like to know, in the third quarter, there was like a brief reduction in gross revenues for Pactia compared with the second quarter. And there was also a very important increase in the operational net revenue. I'd like to know if this is due to something specific that happened during the quarter, or what happened. Like, why do we see these changes one quarter to the other? Well, let me give the word to Alejandro, and he could better explain. Well, I'd like to highlight the following thing. Remember that in the case of Pactia, what we've been doing with the company and what we've been doing with the fund is going into a consolidation process where there's a series of projects that have different stages in time. So obviously there are points where due to the construction period that we're going through that has some additional incomes, some additional revenues. Obviously there's some new assets coming into play that have the same operational capacity and that in a certain way generate those transitory effects. But nevertheless, if you analyze this and analyze the trend where we are analyzing the business, we definitely see income stability and profitability stability. That's also something that we're constantly monitoring. And effectively, if you look at the return of this assets through time, as it was mentioned during the call, we're speaking about returns that are close to 8%, which in a certain way shows us a relative stability for our objective profitability, but this also leaves us in a comfortable position for those future projects with institutional investors that will allow us to leverage those investment opportunities, not just in Colombia, but internationally. Okay, thank you. And at this moment, we have no more questions. We want to give the word to panel leaders, to panel members to wrap up. Okay, thank you all for your participation, for your questions, for your disposition. And everyone here is open to help you with any questions that you might have, anything that you would like to analyze in a deeper manner. We have Natalia Guerrero, Alejandro, and me, more than open to answer any other questions. Thank you for being with us. That would be the end of today's conference, and thank you for your participation.